Preach on tonight. According to the heading in my Bible, this is directions given to Titus. And it begins, Paul to Titus says, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now, what are the things which become sound doctrine? Well, first of all, understand doctrine in its most basic form means teaching, okay? In some circles, when you use the term doctrine, it's identifying major teachings like inspiration, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which would, okay, individually, and then together we refer to them as Trinity. It could also be dealing with Second Coming and Second Coming events. This is, in many circles, what is meant by doctrine. And then in addition to those major key teachings, you have all of the rest of the Bible, which is more teachings, okay? Now, when we use the term doctrine, we are using it to apply to all of the teachings of Scripture, whether it is a key teaching like inspiration, for example, or Second Coming, or whether it would be something that would say modesty. Okay, that's a doctrine, that's a teaching. Modesty. Who does modesty apply to, by the way?
Everyone.
Aha. Correct answer. You, if I had a box of peeps, I'd give them to you. Aren't you glad I don't? Yeah, it's everyone. Modesty, again, in many circles, modesty is understood to apply to who? Women. But it applies to men just as much. Just as much. Now, granted, the reason it is generally applied to women is because men are appealed to by sight, women are appealed to by touch, or even with their mind to be focused on whatever in a relationship. And so that's why frequently modesty is applied to women, because they have to watch how they dress, because men don't know how to control their eyes. Huh? I like what about this time of the year, Pat would say it's time to get your blinders out, because she knew you were going to start seeing females in shorts, okay, shorter than shorts. And so she would tell me, she said, "You need to get your blinders on." And that lets me know that she was looking further ahead than I was. Okay? And so men, when your wife does you a favor and points something like that out, you just thank them. Okay?
Right.
I really should have heard a bunch of amens, fellas. Your wives are going to wonder why you weren't amening when I said something like that. Yeah, Stephen got it. Okay. All right, Titus chapter 2. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." So here's what he said is sound teaching. And then he addresses in verse 2 aged men. And then in verse 3 he addresses aged women. And best as I can come to understand, aged means just that, old men and old women, okay? I mean, he is talking about those who are over the hill, you know, they're beyond whatever, okay, aged. And in verse 4, he talks to young women, or about young women, and verse 6 about young men. Now, what I'm taking out of what I just stated is that you're hearing? You're listening? We are here to help each other. Okay? We are here to help each other. young men, young women, there are things that the older men and the older women have already learned and experienced. Now, perhaps you're wondering, well, where's the age line between the older and the younger? Well, that's probably where you are, the middle group, okay? And I don't know where old begins, and I know I'm there, okay? I mean, there's no doubt about that, okay? but you know, where it begins, where it ends, and we do have a group in between for sure. And we categorize things differently than what they did in Bible times. But we're here to help each other. I mean, have you ever heard the saying, why reinvent the wheel? Okay? I mean, you know, why go to the agony of having to learn something that somebody else has already learned? Just get it from them, okay? But if pride won't let you do that, well, then you're bound to have a lot of trouble learning in life, okay? But anyway, here we go. Now, verse 2. That the aged men, that's us old duffers, that the aged men be sober. Oh, man, you can't go tie one on. No, I don't believe that's what it's talking about, okay? When it says aged men be sober. Now, some seem to think it could mean that they were inebriated. But most seem to feel that what this is dealing with is being of sound mind, of grave, that is honorable, or that is sober. Grave is the next word. Vigilant, okay, of sound mind. That's how it's using the word sober. And then it goes on and it says that the aged men should be grave. Now, that doesn't mean because they're aged, they're soon ready to be buried, but rather they're honorable and they're to be honest, temperate. And of course, when you're temperate in something, you're more balanced, and so you're not as prone to take off in some kind of a tangent. Sound in faith. And there, the faith has to do with that of one's trust in God and one's, when it says sound in faith, you're to be stable in your understanding of God and in your commitment to Jesus Christ and in charity. Now, it says charity. It doesn't say love. One of the first things that I learned when I started attending here is that you cannot just interchange charity and love. Now, the first time I had heard pastor say that, I thought, what? What? You know? But then, as I heard him teach sound doctrine, I began to understand the distinction between the term charity and the term love. Now listen, those of you who grew up here knowing nothing but what I've just alluded to, the distinction between charity and love, you don't understand. You can't relate to what I'm explaining.
That's right. Right.
Because that's all you've ever known.
Right.
You're blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed in that. But nevertheless, charity is the character of love. Love is the relationship that I have with God. It was the relationship I had with my wife. It is the relationship that I have with other people. Okay? But it is charity that gives me character in how that love is carried out. Okay? Charity has patience. You see, love, the emotional relationship. Well, let me take an obvious. Now, there's charity holding Bethy. Now, I can honestly say I love Bethy. Bethy's one of my little girls, okay? And she's sweet. But I need charity for Bethy. Because you see, I need patience. She's just a 1-year-old. She acts like a 1-year-old. I can't expect anything but her to act like a 1-year-old, right? Okay, but charity gives me patience with her as a 1-year-old. Now, let me take that and apply that between you husbands and wives. Okay, now remember, we're here to benefit each other. And so one of you is going to understand something about the other one. Love is that relationship you have together. But charity is the character that's going to help you to be patient with each other. And so just like I illustrated with Bethy, the same illustration applies to a husband and a wife. Okay? To a mother and an older child. Now, let's bring Bethy along here. You know, when I said that the people in my family lived to mid-80s, when I said that, Pastor immediately spoke up and said, "We're going to keep you around till 90. And I thought to myself, "Oh, no, man, I don't want to be around here till I'm 90. I want to tell you folks what I've told just a few others, but I've told a few others. I've adjusted my want to. I want to be around until I'm 90. Or even a little more. You say, what made you change, Bethy and Noah? You know, in 10 years, okay, she'll be 11. Noah will be 12. That's worthwhile. Hang on, here's the other one. Charity will be 33.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, almost over the hill. And there are other people that I could illustrate that very, very same sort of thing. Now, on Saturday, we're going to go and observe Grace's 18th birthday. In 10 years, she'll be 28. My goodness. Can you imagine what's going to happen between 18 and 28? I've already been praying for him. I mean, I've already been praying about that. You know, now, if when I get to 90, I feel like I think I could feel, but I say I think I could feel, good night. Think about Hendrick. Yeah. Okay? Hendrick and Corey. And how old is he?
92.
Not 92. You know, if I feel like that, man, I'll go for another 5 or 6 years. Okay? And here's Victor. How old are you, Victor?
Six.
Six? Oh, my lands.
He'll be driving.
That's exactly where I was going. Get ready, Kyle. You're going to have to teach him to drive, and if you don't have the patience, then let Mama do it. Okay? My wife didn't have the patience to treat our Monica. You all know Monica. She didn't have the patience to do Monica. But Monica had a friend in the church named Lynn King, and she volunteered to teach Monica. Why? Because she had the patience. Okay? You see, know your strengths, know your weaknesses. Okay? And we're here to help each other. All right? And we can be of help to each other within your immediate family and within the church family. Now, we gotta get back into Titus chapter 2 here. Those were all worthwhile illustrations. I don't know where they fit, but now look at verse 3. Aged women, likewise, just like aged men, okay? Now he says, aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior Okay? As becometh holiness, not false accusers. Okay? We don't want aged women running all over the place making accusations against somebody. And then everybody thinking, well, it must be true. And after all, you know, look how old she is. And then she must know something that's going on here. No. Not. Now watch this one. You're watching this one? Verse 3, not given to much wine. Now that does not mean what it first appears to mean. What it first appears to mean is you may be given to a little bit of wine, just not much. Okay, well, when you begin to study it out, it's I don't know if it's an old English thing or if it's a Greek thing, and the way it translated into the English, all I can say is it doesn't mean you can't have a lot, but you can have a little. Okay? That's not what it means. Okay? Now, you go study it out more if you want more detail than that. I honestly didn't have time to get into it to try myself get a handle on it, let alone try to explain it to you. And it says there that the older women are to be teachers of good things. But now notice verse 4, because this is where the young women come in. That they, teachers of good things, semicolon. Do you see that punctuation? Ain't up here. It's in your Bible. So I say, you see that punctuation and you're staring at me. You're not seeing it. Some of you are not purposely looking because you don't like the fact that I rebuked you for that. Uh-huh. I would just wonder. Yeah, see, pastor's got the idea there. And you wonder why some of your kids had trouble sometimes? Teachers of good things, semicolon, that they may teach the young women. So aged women are to be teachers of good things so that they can teach the younger women. Amen. There's that, why reinvent the wheel? The younger women can learn from the older women. Amen. You're doing your job, Ruthann. Now you wonder what's coming, don't you? It's good. As I've interacted with Charity the last couple days, I don't remember what they were, but on two different occasions she said, well, Sam's mother says thus and such. Yeah, or she'll say, well, you know, my mother-in-law, she explained this. You're doing your job. The aged women are teaching the younger women. That's the way it's supposed to work. And the younger men are supposed to be able to learn from the younger men learn from the older men. Now listen, in order for that to happen, you must be teachable. It doesn't matter how many fantastic ideas Sister Ruthann has. Samantha Lynn isn't going to listen to them. She ain't going to learn them. If Charity isn't going to have an ear open to hear them, she isn't going to learn them. So, what did I say? We're here to help each other. Life is a two-way street. I can help you if you want help. You've heard that said many times. You can't help somebody if they don't want help. The old adage to that is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, a lot of those old adages that we have them for a reason. And here's an illustration of it. And so the aged women are to likewise teach the younger women. And look at this. That they may teach the younger women to be sober. Now, here we are again, meaning of sound mind and vigilant, to love their husbands. To love their children. Do you really have to teach a wife how to love her husband? Do you really have to teach them how to love their children? Some of it is going to come about instinctively, but there's going to be some that we need to learn, okay? And that we develop in loving. We develop in a relationship. If everything just automatically happened, well, wouldn't life be grand? But everything doesn't just automatically happen. And so, as a result, teachers of good things, that is the aged women, why be teachers of good things? That they may teach the young women to be serious, vigilant, to love their husbands, to love their children's. And then he goes on and says this, to be discreet. That's to be sensible. To be using good judgment. To be temperate. Now I'm going to give you another illustration out of life. I was up in Buffalo area, to get some photographs taken. And I like to go to Wegmans because Wegmans has jalapeno cheese bread. If you like jalapeno cheese bread, it's to die for, okay? And so I got 3 loaves and I brought it home. And when I was going in Wegmans, anybody that goes to Wegmans know that they know how to do it. I walked into Wegmans and what did I see? Big display of what? No, strawberries. She forgot already. Now, the reason I looked at Charity about strawberries is because just the week before, she told me how to preserve strawberries so they last longer in the refrigerator than just in the plastic box. So I'm going into Wegmans. Here's this big display of strawberries. Now this is going somewhere. And so I got a box, I got my 3 loaves of bread and I got a donut, okay? Because I heard Patricia saying, are you gonna get yourself a donut for your treat tonight? And frequently I would say, nah, I think not. And she said, well, I think you ought to. So I listened to her and I got one. and I got a box of strawberries. So I'm driving home. Like I say, this is going somewhere with the aged women and the younger women, okay? And so I got this box of strawberries, so I contact Charity and I say, I've got this box of strawberries. Now, this was a Monday. Until I'd see her and Sam on Wednesday, they're going to be over the hill, okay? And so I said, I'll stop by and give you the box of strawberries. And then, so she sent me a text. She said, well, when you pull in the driveway, telephone me and I'll know to come out. The kids are sleeping. So she comes out. I gave her the strawberries and 4 pieces of jalapeno cheese bread also. And then I asked her this. Now, this is where this is all going. I said, Charity, have you adopted your mother-in-law's practice that if a man stops, you step out, she steps out on the porch to talk to them? Charity said, yes, I have. I commended her for it. And I said, well, I need to know that so that if I have another box of strawberries, I know how to deal with it or something of that sort. Because I certainly want to respect that, and I think it's a wise thing. Now, that's an aged woman teaching a younger woman. You say, how come charity is all illustrations? Well, because I have that kind of interaction with charity. Now, depending on what it was, it'd be with Samantha Lynn. Okay, now there are some things that went on today with Samantha Lynn, and I'll not get into them from here. Okay, that would be wise. Yep, she said that would be. Oh, yeah, 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 especially the classes, yeah. For sure. That would be a mistake. That isn't what I initially was thinking of. But anyway.
How insightful.
Listen. Yeah, now, he was. What did you, what word did you use?
How insightful.
Insightful. I thought he said disciple.
Oh.
You see, because this is part of what we're talking about, discipling.
Yep.
This is Sister Ruth Ann as a mother-in-law discipling, okay, her daughter-in-law. And Pastor has done this with his sons. I have seen you all over them.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I have seen them. And it's a good thing. Okay? It's a good thing because we know now, since you just turned 70, you qualify as one of the aged men. And
71.
You like 71. That? You like that, Sharon, that I got? Okay. That is a lot of humor, but I hope it helps you to understand.
Amen.
My intention is the practicality of what this is saying. Because if you're waiting to see these things that are spoken in these first 6 to 8 verses of chapter 2, if you're waiting to see these in the usual spiritual sense, you're going to miss them.
Yeah.
You're going to miss them. And certainly, there are things that we can learn that one person has learned doctrinally, and they can tell another one doctrinally what they've learned. But you know where you have your trouble in living. It isn't sitting in these pews.
No,
it isn't sitting reading your Bible. It isn't in your praying. It's in your relationship with your husband and wife and your children and your neighbor. When that old coot does nothing but get aggravate you. Oh, that's the neighbor on the other side I must have been thinking of. Okay. Yeah. There's where we need to now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The chapter on charity, because that tells us how we get along with that neighbor that just rubs us the wrong way. Have you ever heard this one? you know, like, hey, boy, he rubs me the wrong way. You know, like a cat, you know, rub the fur the wrong way. You've heard it said already, haven't you? Turn the cat around. That's what we're doing. We're with the teaching of the scriptures, we're turning ourselves around.
Amen.
Now listen, this is where the success in the Christian life is won.
Amen. That is so.
In the everyday events.
Amen.
When have you lost it? Did you ever lose it here? You're running late? And you're going to church and you're really feeling religious. I mean, you had good prayer time and good Bible reading and you're doing real good. And you get out to the car. And the battery's dead. And you look and the headlights were left on. Who drove the car last? Your wife? She what? She left the headlights on? Now there's where your spirituality is going to show.
Yeah.
Not when you come sweetly walking in, sitting in the pew, looking ever so pious. It's going to be out in the car when she left the headlights on.
Amen.
Or he left the headlights on, okay? Did I redeem myself, ladies? He left the headlights on. He ain't gonna tell you that. He isn't gonna come in and say, you don't ever guess what I did. I left the headlights on in the back of the you ladies know how us men are. See, I can go home and there's nobody there to remind me of these things. I would get home after some of these kind of talks and Pat would say, were you referring to thus and such? And I would frequently say, no, I had forgotten about that one, thank you. Oh, I do miss her for just those sort of things. But the marvelous thing, friends, is it says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, just like the young women and just like the old men. So it says here, young men, likewise, exhort to be like this. We all need this kind of instruction. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight, for the love of the Lord Jesus. Give us grace, I pray in your name. Amen.